as we light our Advent candles today, if you would, if you would stand and let's do our responsive reading. Dominion over fear belongs to the Lord. He makes peace in high places.
I will lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, may me dwell in safety.
The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with strength.
I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak to his people and his saints.
Great peace have those who love his laws, and nothing causes them to stumble.
When a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him.
You will keep those in perfect peace, those minds who are fixed on you because they trust in you.
Jesus is our Prince of Peace. Give us peace, O Lord.
Thank you, George and Carol. Please pray with us. Father, we ask for that peace today that this world so longs for. Not just peace from wars or conflict, but peace, Father, that can only come from the Prince of Peace, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Father, I pray that this holiday season, when we come together to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, that we will experience a peace in our hearts. Not that maybe constitutes the absence of fear, but a peace that allows us that in the midst of turmoil to just be at rest in you, to trust you, to know that you're there and that you are for us. I ask, Father, that you would please give us that perfect peace every day of our lives and allow us not just at this Christmas season, but throughout the year to experience both peace with you and peace with our fellow man. Thank you, Father, for promising to be with us and for giving us all that we would ever need in this life for godliness. May you be honored and praised as we come together today to celebrate you in our lives. And Father, may we carry the message of the gospel of peace to everyone that we come in contact with. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you would, please watch this DVD concerning our Lottie Moon offering.
How in the world did a small country boy end up here? You know, I come from a small town in Texas, and I would have never in a million years thought that I would end up first in the Amazon jungle and then in Africa. You're trying to, you know, carry your water, you're trying to cook your meals, you're trying to study your Bible, learn your stories, learn your language, and then something else happens.
This man had gone to the witch doctor and began to place curses on our team, on Jeremy.
But we know that those have no power over us.
You know, we all asked ourselves, what is it going to take for us to stay? Because leaving wasn't an option. So yes, we will endure sickness and isolation and all the, you know, things that go along with doing what we do. However, Christ is worth it.
Yes, it's difficult sometimes, but then we look around and we say, wow, we live in the middle of Africa surrounded by warriors. Every night, just about, we hear them beating on drums and dancing. We're able to see people come to Christ that have no hope in their lives and they've never heard of Jesus.
And some, a few, have been willing to change their lives. Now we want for them to be equipped no matter the price that they will be required to pay. And if we sent them out alone, then they would not make it because they wouldn't be able to stand. But if we send them out as the church, then they can stand against the world.
Jesus Christ, enjoy kwa kuch. Jesus Christ.
Enjoy kwa.
excuse me, please remember that all of you, the offering that's given for the Lottie Moon goes to missionaries. It pays for them to be on the field and to share the gospel with other folks in other countries. So please pray and give. We normally exceed our goal. I pray that will be the case this year. I know the times are maybe perhaps a little bit tougher, but please pray and do what the Lord lays on your heart to do, and that's all you can do, and He will bless that, and we will be able to get the gospel to people throughout this world. Thank you. God bless you. We're going to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. If you would, please stand with us. It's page 95 in your hymn book, but the words will be on the screen if you would like to follow along with those. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and brought us God's salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated.
This morning's scripture comes from Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Will you join me in prayer, please? And dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, and thank You for each one that came out today, for each family that's represented. And Lord, at this time, I just pray that You would minister to our church body. Lord, we've got lots of people that are sick and needing, Lord, at this time of the year, and more needs than I know about. But You know what they are, Lord. You know their family's needs, and I just pray that You'd minister to them in a way that only You can. And Lord, at this time of our service, just bless our offering, bless the gift and the giver, and help us to use the gifts that we can give today to further Your kingdom. For this we pray in Your name. Amen.
Thank you.
We've had to change a little bit this morning. Penny called me and she's sick. She went with the group to a Samaritan's Purse and just came down with something. Sounds like some type of allergies. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you, if you would please, to join us as we sing together hymn number 3. It won't be on the screen, so you're going to need your hymn book, Worthy of Worship. So we're all going to stand and sing together, and after this, the choir will come down, and we'll proceed forward. So if you would please stand with us as we sing together, Worthy of Worship. And I encourage you, sing this with your heart. What a glorious time to sing this beautiful hymn. Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the glad songs we can sing, worthy of all of the offerings we bring. You are worthy, Father, Creator, you are worthy. Savior, Sustainer, you are worthy. Worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise. Worthy of reverence, worthy of fear, worthy of love and devotion, worthy of bowing and bending of knees, worthy of all this and added to these. You are worthy, Father, Creator, you are worthy. Savior, Sustainer, you are worthy. Worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise. Almighty Father, Master and Lord, King of all kings and Redeemer, Wonderful Counselor, Comforter, Friend, Savior and Source of our life without end. You are worthy, Father, Creator, you are worthy. Savior, Sustainer, you are worthy. Worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I would just encourage you today, we don't have a time we left out the pastoral prayer because we wanted to give our missionaries all the time that they needed. But we would just encourage you to please be in prayer this time of season for those who are sick and struggling. And I would also encourage you to remember those people that in this past year have said goodbye to loved ones who've passed away. Very hard time of the year. And so there are many who still, after many years, continue to struggle with the passing of their loved ones, especially at the holiday season. So please lift your friends and your church family up in prayer this Christmas. I'd like to introduce today our missionaries. Brother Bruce, like a lot of missionaries that you may not think about, was at one time a pastor. A lot of missionaries begin as something else. They may start as youth ministers, or they may have some type of parachurch ministry. But a lot of times, in the middle of another ministry, God will call people to the mission field, and that happened to Bruce and Sherry. They are originally from Texas, and I think it's from Texas. At least that's where you pastored at. I just assumed you were from Texas. So, and they're just a wonderful couple. We had dinner with them last night, and And we wanted them to just come and share their heart with you today. We normally have our missionaries back on Sunday night to show DVDs of their entire ministry, but Bruce had another engagement that he'd already scheduled, so he won't be with us tonight. But I wanted him to take some time and talk about his ministry, his call, and also just to speak to us what the Lord has laid on his heart. So Bruce and Sherry, if you would, and this is his wife. Sherry, will you be involved in the presentation? This is Sherry, his wife.
Yay!
And I will let you tell, I'll let Bruce tell you about where he ministers and all that, all right?
Sherry and I have had the opportunity to be your missionaries for the last 20 years, living in Nepal. The last 2 years, we've been in India, working in Bangladesh, Bhutan, India, and Nepal. So halfway around the world, it's a long ways from here, but we are so grateful.
It's just a blessing to be here with you today. It's always a joy to get those emails or those phone calls saying that a church is interested in having a speaker and interested in learning more about missions. And so it's just a blessing to be here with you today.
We are very sad that we're not able to come and be back tonight, because that's what we love, is to have both services. But then it even got worse. Thursday, he called and was asking a question, and I was completely lost. What he didn't know is on Wednesday, I was talking to Collinsville, Texas. And then when you said, "This is Collinsville," my mind went to the conversation about what I was supposed to be doing in January. And so there was a major disconnect, and I just had to say, "I'm sorry, start again." And he said, "This," and I'm like, "Oh, yes." And that's when I realized my mistake. So that's where we lost our communication on Thursday. But it's here.
Well, I wanted to say that we look a little different today. Bruce is in a vest, a tribal vest, from the Karabi tribe in Northeast India. He was presented this at a Christmas program that he spoke at a few years ago. This is a skirt from Northeast India. The Garo people, who speak the Achik language, this is their traditional skirt, style skirt that the women wear there.
This tribe wrote the song "No Turning Back," and it was translated from their language into English. And there's not a lot of Indian songs that were translated that would impact, but that song helped the tribe to realize we must trust in Christ and Christ alone. And that's what we want you to hear. As you're partnering in Lottie Moon, it's touching real lives, and we're so grateful for this opportunity.
Bruce is going to show some pictures, and as you look at the pictures, as you see the pictures, check out the tribal wear that they're wearing, the skirts and things. They love colors there. They love bright things. And we just hope that the light of Christ can penetrate all of that.
Before we do the slides, you won't believe this, but when we got married, we were poor. Like you always are when you just finish university. Just got married. And her uncle passed away, and we went through the couch, and we went through other places, and we got enough change to buy gas to get to the funeral. We came back, and we said, "What are we going to do? We literally have nothing for Lottie Moon." And then a church called and said, "Would you come preach?" And back in that day, as a supply preacher, you would get $25, maybe $50. And I came up with the genius idea. "Sherry, why don't we just take the check, sign it, put it in their offering, and that will be our gift?" And she said, "That's a good idea." And we went to this little country church in the middle of a cow pasture, and we preached. And they said, "Let's take up a special offering for this couple," and they gave us $200. And I turned the check over, and I signed it. Driving back, Sherry said, "How much was it?" I said, "You don't want to know." And you know how wives are. She kept saying, "How much was it?" And I said, $200. And she said, Bruce, we need tires for my car, and that would have put tires on my car. And I said, I know that, but we made a commitment. That night, a friend called and said, Bruce, I know this is out of the blue, but I just bought a new car for my wife, and it had tires, and I will only use Michelin tires because of a commitment I made. Do you need four tires? I said, yes. And I go to get the car, I take it the next day, and he actually paid to have the tires put on my car. And when I was getting the tires, I started the car. And he said, Bruce, I'm selling that truck next week. It's got a brand new battery. Why don't you go get the battery out of that truck? So I put a new battery in my car. And then he said, Bruce, will you build 2 miles of fence for me? And I said, yes. And I still remember that obedience to God is a glorious thing. He gave me 4 tires and a battery and a job building 2 miles of fence. And that's a little work if you've ever done it. But I made a lot more than $200. You can trust God. And what we want you to hear is gratitude. That it is half a world away, but you're part of what we do. As you pray for missionaries, you've been praying for us for 20 years and you've never met us. As you give to Lottie Moon and Cooperative Program, you're keeping our ministry alive. And we want you to hear how thankful we are for this partnership. And that we get to come and be part of this. And now you're going to really pray for Bruce. And you'll pray even more for Sherry because she has to put up with Bruce all the time. I think the pastor's wife has just put Sherry way on the top of her list. Pray for Sherry daily. A poor girl has to put up with a lot. Let's see if we can get the slideshow going. The main thing we do is teach Bible classes. Our students are working in all kinds of places, but first we have to have a home. This is our car that Lottie Moon provides, our house. We live in a place called Shillong, a small village of about 480,000 people. I do ride motorcycles, so pray again, because that's dangerous, right? Many people had to work the fields just to survive. We depend on nationals. It's not just Sherry and I. People like her organize these classes. They come and the students take a class for a week. We teach doctrine, a Bible class, and a practical study. And immediately they have to go and reteach it in their own village. You see, just outside of the church, how different it looks. Think about all the things you don't have. How many of you have to walk through a path like that to get to the road? Disabilities are twice as many as in America, and there's so little to be done. We're teaching hope that will change nations. These are people that cannot read and write, and yet they're learning Bible stories, and they're going out into places like this, and they're telling them about Jesus. And we're seeing radical change. You want joy, ride a train in Bangladesh. Sherry still remembers the time they didn't have an air-conditioned train. You see how I get tortured on the field? This is just in our backyard, about 3 hours from our house. All the rain of Bangladesh comes from our state. This is 2 trees. They've taken tree roots and wove them together and made a living bridge. And you see, I'm standing on one of those bridges. This is some of Sherry's grandkids. You don't believe me? Wait until this next one. Doesn't that look like Sherry's grandkid? You know that's not mine, right? These cities. How many in this city, the college students at a medical school did a study and they found the only thing that would make a real change in community, in families, was becoming a Christian. People that ride that rickshaw became a believer in Jesus Christ and their families started seeing the difference it makes. Here's Sherry shopping and shopping again. That store cried when she left town. Shopping again. You wouldn't believe how many times she's like, I didn't know it was going to be cold up here. And she has to buy a new shawl. And how many kids have been tortured by me? You don't want to know. This is a music workshop. Many of the people don't have music in their own language. And so here they're coming in 2 weeks. We had 20 languages. 5 of them didn't have any Christian literature in their own language. And they're writing songs that they can go and to proclaim. And as they're doing it, the joy is so full. But after we would sit in this conference and they were playing bamboo, they were playing stringed instruments and beating drums, writing music, we didn't stop there. Wasn't just about getting it recorded so that they could take it home. They put on their beautiful tribal colors. We went out of the compound. Yes, they danced. Don't tell Baptists here. They came together. They used their instruments, their gifts. Went out into the fields, into the streets, and started proclaiming Jesus. And while we were taking pictures, this is a group of people that came and they started asking about grace and how can they have faith and who is Jesus? And we said, okay, we're doing this intentionally. This is up on the border of Bhutan. I pick up a few rocks and juggle, and you see the crowd that I get. They're working, making things out of bamboo. And yet we're celebrating. That you get to see many languages. Sherry and I can teach in 1 month, be in 4 classes and be in 4 different languages. We have to use translators. Thankfully, we can understand a lot of what is being said in the church language, and yet sometimes that gets me in trouble because I think I've understood and I didn't. Tea fields produce some of our best students, and they're out working the fields. And then after they work the fields all day, they go home and they tell somebody about Jesus. Yes, we have monkeys in India. Rhinos and wild water buffaloes. This was taken from the road. We were not in a jungle park. This is inside a tea factory. They're loud. They're dusty, and yet the people are still going out of those and they're telling people about Jesus. All of these students work in one of those tea factories or tea fields. These are some more tea workers, and you can see that time I'm inside a church, and yet 4 years ago they had 4 baptisms in 6 months, and the last time we were there it was 84. Sherry and I are just shocked. Many of the churches are like this, the dirt floor, very simple. They're preaching Jesus. Sherry doesn't like that picture, so I make it stay in there. One of the tribal groups gave not only Sherry, but our daughter in the meadow, a skirt. And so the girls were very happy with the adi. And they don't like to be indoors. They like to be outside. They gave me this. I didn't wear it this morning, but I like it because I don't get to wear a tie if I wear this vest or that. So I have to give up my tie. We're on the road. Sometimes 6-7 weeks at a time, we're out teaching. This is in Bangladesh. But it's about how can we get Jesus onto the streets? Half a world away. How many people are in the state of Virginia? About 8 million. How many Maithili in Bihar, West Bengal, Nepal? One language, 17 million people. One language. Santali, one language. 2.4 million people. Some of the tribes, there's only 20,000 that speak that. How many people in this city? Collinsville? Just ballpark. In the county, there's 45,000. How many churches in the county? More, 10? What about the Maji? I think there are about 48,000. How many churches? Zero. How many known believers that we know of? Eight. Can you imagine your entire county? 8 known believers, and we're working towards the first church. I could be wrong. But I want you to see that lostness is what you're giving to, and lostness is what breaks the heart of Christ. When a language has never heard, and yet because you're partnering, Sherry and I have seen amazing things. The first time I went to Tumlintar, a remote village, they told me I could walk a day in any direction. In fact, you can walk 2 days in any direction and not find a single church. And I said, we need to pray. They said, that's why we want to have this class here. It's easier for you to get to. I only had to walk 3 days to get there. And we prayed. And God started a church. And that church started a church. And that church started a church. And 18 years later, I'm going back to celebrate this granddaughter church. In 6 months, they had had 38 baptisms. From 0 to 38 in 6 months. It's not bad even for this church, is it? And this church said, Bruce, you'd like to walk. If we go over that hill, we'll be in Tibet, and we want to go there and tell them about Jesus. And I wish I could go back and walk up that hill and see them tell the people in Tibet about Jesus. But 18 years later, They're telling me there's more than 20 churches in that area where 20 years before there were zero. You are making a difference when you give to Lottie Moon. You are impacting not only languages and geography, you're impacting lostness. And I thought I was finished. I had to walk out of this place. So I'm walking from the Granddaughter Church, and we get to a place, and my Nepali friends were very happy because they could ride a vehicle. And I said, guys, it's all right, I think I'm going to walk. And so they rode the vehicle for 2 hours, stopped for lunch, and I met them 15 minutes later. And then they said, oh, the road gets good here, you should ride. And I said, guys, I think I'll keep walking. And I continued to walk to the daughter church. They arrived at 2, and I arrived about 4 o'clock. You can say I'm fast at walking, but I'm not that fast. I think you can all outchase me in your car. But the next day, there was a strike, and you couldn't ride a vehicle, so we all had to walk down to the next place. And you got to understand, when I'm walking, I'm not dressed dignified like this. I'm wearing shorts, and I've got a grungy t-shirt on and a backpack because I carry my own stuff. And I get to the village, and I see a boy, 15 years old, with an unrepaired cliff pallet. And I said, come here. Who are you with? And I talked with him and his parents. And I found out they were coming to Duran, where Sherry and I lived at the time. And I said, when you get to Duran, call this number. This is my own helper, and when you call him, he will help you. The next day, they called our helper. And our helper said, actually, I need you right now. There's a medical camp. And he carried him to the medical camp. And the doctor saw him and said, bring him forward now. We need him in Kathmandu. Can you send him to Kathmandu? And the family said, we can't go to the big city. We don't have money. We're afraid. And Umesh said, that's all right. I will send your son and a helper to Kathmandu. And they'll do the operation tomorrow. So he gave him money and put him on a bus. And then he called Sherry or me and said, by the way, I just spent your money. We said, well done. The boy went to Kathmandu. The next day, he had an operation. 3 days later, I go to Kathmandu. And I meet the young man and we talk. And I said, there's something I need. And he was afraid. And I said, will you take a picture with me? And he said, yes. And we took our picture. And he said, but what do you need? I said, that's what I needed. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I'm a Christian. He said, well, last night, I was amazed. There was a woman, and she was caring for this little girl that was having the same operation. And in the morning, I said, ma'am, I want you to know how encouraged I am that you show this kind of love to your daughter. And she said, this isn't my daughter. This is a village girl. I am a pastor's wife. I do this because Jesus loves this little girl. He said, are you the kind of Christian she is? I wanted to say, no, I know that lady. She's a lot better than I am. But I was able to lie and say, yes, I'm that kind of Christian. You impact not only thousands, but you impact a 15-year-old. And he gets to see the love of Christ. You get to impact people at such a level. I'd like for you to turn to John, the 4th chapter. What time? In John, the 4th chapter, You have a conversation between Jesus and a woman that everyone else would ignore. And when you get to the 21st verse, Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." You see, I'm thrilled. This is an awesome building. I like this kind of place. It's good for me. I like having people like this, not the square, and it feels very cold and restrictive. But in Nepal, one of the churches that God started met under a tree. And I said, "What do you do when it's raining?" He said, "Bruce, we're not stupid. We wait until it stops and then we go to the tree and we have church." That's a good idea. About a year later, I hear they're taking up money to build a building. And so I went to the pastor and I said, "Where is your church?" He said, "Bruce, you've been to our church. It's at the tree where all the footpaths come together." I said, "I heard you were taking up money for a building." He said, "We are, because we started a mission and they don't have a tree, so we had to build them a building." The time has come and is already here that worshipers will worship in truth and spirit. That they understand it's not about just showing up at a sanctuary. It's about having an encounter that changes so much that my life has to be different 24/7. You see, that church taught me. I didn't teach them. Because I look at everything I've done and said, how many times have I built something for somebody when I was under a tree? And we're asking you to give sacrificially. We're asking you to say, is it worth it to give $10,000 or more to Lottie Moon so that people all around the world can have their first opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ? But we're asking for more. We're saying, will you pray that Bruce and Sherry and many others will go and be very faithful to teach others that they can teach others? Will you say, I am going to be very committed, and will this church say, are we supposed to pray for one of these languages or one of these towns or places in India or Bangladesh? How can this church become more involved and say, we want to see this place of darkness find the light of Jesus Christ? But you know what we know? That when this happens, there is a church in Texas that said, we're going to adopt Bruce and Sherry. And last year, in the month of July, they made us send a 3 to 5 minute video each week. It was bad. We hated being actors. But after 3 weeks, they said, Bruce, we're doing this for India and we're getting convicted that we need to do something here. I said, do it now. They're like, don't wait. I said, no, do it now. And so they adopted a church in New England, and last summer they went up and they helped with a construction project on that church. And when we went in February, the pastor said, Bruce, as we've been praying for India, as we've been praying for the church in New England and doing this, for the first time we've had a baptism every week. He said, lost people are coming here and getting saved. I don't think it's just missions. I think as you start to say, I want cooperative program to be real, I want this to be something I'm praying about, then you start to see that gas attendant that speaks Bengali right here. You see that person that speaks Spanish right across the street. You see that neighbor that has said no to Jesus again and again. And do you know they're going to the same hell that a Buddhist or Hindu or Sikh is going to if they don't know Jesus? Lostness is not about geography. And he says, God is seeking true worshipers that will say, I want to find what God can do if I absolutely say yes to Him. Because I'm asking, what would God do with your life? One lady, 84 years old, said yes. And she brought some college students and went down to one of the hottest places and she told people about Jesus. One man, 72 years old, and he started teaching Buddhists how to speak in English. What is God asking you to do? Because it says the time has come that God is seeking true spiritual worship. You see, I love these things. The pianist couldn't have known, but she did that special just for Bruce. My mother's a church pianist, and I miss that when I'm in India. But the one she did today was what my mother did the last time I was in my home church. That's why I had to move over and see her play it, because she didn't know it was a gift for me. What are you going to do? To say, I want my life to be a gift. I want to understand it is one sacred effort. Because you're going to see kids and they're going to be playing with strings after church. Some of you parents are going to go, why? Where did these come from? But I want you to hear. When I was a college student, couldn't preach, I couldn't teach, still can't sing. And they said, we need you to go on a mission trip because we need a carpenter. And I thought it'd be fun to go with some college students and do this construction. And I went on a construction trip and I found out something. Country boy raised on a farm in the middle of nowhere. Says yes to Jesus and do things to please God. I think he was putting me down when he said I'm from Texas. That didn't sound like a compliment. But he's saying, if God can redeem a sorry Texan, what could he do with someone from this fine state? Because God is a spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. That I get to tell people about Jesus and Isa. Those are three different languages for Jesus. It amazes me. That I get to see people that get dressed up for our conference. They put on a t-shirt and they pull up a skirt-looking thing. Because when they're out in the village, they're still very much villagers that wear more of the tribal things. But while we were in Bangladesh, we were staying at a hotel, and this man that said he was more of a Buddhist than anything was from Oregon, and he had been walking in the hills of Bangladesh. And we said, we're Christians. And he said, "You're Christians? I just met some Baptists down in Bondabon that are more changed by their faith than any group I have ever seen." He said, "I'd been there once before, and they were all thieves." And he said, "Now I was there, and they did such a good job. They were so careful with my things, and I offered them extra money. And they said, 'No, we've agreed on this price. That's all we deserve.'" He said, "I want to give you more." And they said, "It's not necessary." He said, "I want to give you more." And they said, "If you give us more, we're just going to take it to the church and give it to them." He didn't know that Sherry and I were glowing inside and thinking, "That's our students." And the next week we were with them. And we said, "What has God done in the last 6 months?" And they said, "About 150 have come to faith in Jesus Christ." Now we know that's not a real number. But what Sherry saw was some of them were going, and they were counting theirs, and they were real. If it's 130, would that be a reason for celebration? 140, 150, I don't know. But the question I have, what if that self-professing Buddhist comes into your community? What would he say about your faith? "You know those Baptists that go to First Baptist Collinsville? They're more changed than anyone I've ever seen. I've never seen a group change because of this book like that group." You see, we don't want you just to put money into a Christmas offering. We don't want you to just pray. We want you to be that community that says, "Together we're going to touch this community, this country, this globe for the glory of Jesus Christ." Hear our gratitude, though, that you made it possible for us to have so much fun over the last 20 years, seeing miracle after miracle, because we had the joy of being where God has called us to. Thank you for sending us. May I pray for you? Father, I do thank you for each one. I pray that you will show them people in their own family, their own friends, that desperately needs to get right with you. I pray that we will see a radical change starting from this day, that we will preach the truth of Jesus through this season into next year, and that many people will come to this church and become true believers in Jesus Christ, because we are worshiping in truth and spirit, day in, day out, and that we are committed to touch the nations, that we will not forget the billion people in India that need to know about Jesus Christ. Help us to be faithful to your call, and let everything we do bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. It's in that holy name we pray.
And thank you, Bruce. At the end of the service, we'll have Bruce and Sherry at the back, and we'd like for you to just go by and tell them how much you appreciate them and how grateful you are for their ministry. But in closing today, what we'd like to do, I'm going to change up a little bit, Mary Jane, if you don't mind. I would like for us to sing I Surrender All as our hymn of benediction. It's page number 275. 275. I don't think it'll be on the screen since we hadn't. And I'm going to ask you to stand with us. And I want to say this to you because Bruce brought this out. And Bruce was a carpenter who went on a building mission and became a missionary. You become a missionary by doing missions. And if some of you will go on mission trips, Samaritan's Purse, somewhere down in Bassett to build a wheelchair ramp, when you go on missions, you get a different perspective about missions. You understand what the sacrifice is all about, but you also understand this great sense of accomplishment and pleasure that you feel in the Lord by doing things for other people. That's really what it's all about. So as we sing this closing hymn, ask yourself, what would God have you do? Where would He have you go? What ministry might you could do here to start out serving in some type of mission where God might start from there and move you to only He knows where to serve Him? Let's sing I Surrender All, 275. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I pray that it will be your heart's desires to surrender all. Not until you surrender all will you be able to be used by God. It's all His anyway. Give it back to Him and trust Him and see what He does with you. I promise you, you'll never regret that. Jan, will you take Bruce and Sherry to the back? And they'll be at these double doors. You please hug their necks and tell them how much you appreciate their ministry, and you will continue to pray for them and support them. Please bow your heads with me as we ask God's blessings on our departure. Father, we give You praise and glory for allowing us this time together to come into Your precious house, to sit down together with people that we love that are a part of our lives, and just to open our hearts before You and just take in everything that You are. We pray, Father, that this has been a meaningful time, a challenging time for all of us, that we leave today with a different perspective, a different thought about missions, understanding that giving is blessed and wonderful. But, Father, the greatest thing we'll ever give is ourselves, our devotion, our commitment to You, to serve You wherever You call us, here, Henry County, in this state, or outside this state, or beyond this nation. Father, may we always be obedient to where You call us and to what You ask us to do. Thank You, Father, for this time. We ask continued blessings on our folks as they leave. Give them safety as they travel. And I pray, Lord, that in their spirits and hearts, they will take the good news of Christ with them and share it everywhere they are so that others may come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior as well. We give You this time we have spent together today as worship and adoration from people who love and adore You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, folks. Have a wonderful evening.